Shabbat shalom. Reb Meir went to immerse himself in the Sea of Galilee. He removed his clothing and began to walk towards the water. His startled companion asked, "Why are you bothering to go through all this trouble? Who's to stop you from saying you swam in the sea? You don't actually have to do it." Reb Meir, astonished by the question, responded, "It used to be said, if you can tell the truth, why tell a lie? Now people say, if you can tell a lie, why bother with the truth?" This ancient story is so familiar. Maybe I miss work, calling in sick. I could have been sick, I just wasn't. Who will this hurt? Why does it matter? Maybe you ignore an email, and a week later, when asked why you did not respond, you say, "It must have gone to my spam folder. I simply never saw it." This could have happened. You could have missed it. But it didn't happen, and you told a lie. Who will this hurt? Why does it matter? Truth is so slippery anyway. Truth is subjective. My truth is certainly different than yours. Like we see with the story about four blind men who come upon an elephant and want to understand the truth of what an elephant is. The first one ran headfirst into its side and exclaimed, "Why, it's a wall. An elephant is a large, warm wall." The second man, wrapping his arms around the elephant's leg, says, "This is nothing like a wall. An elephant is a kind of pillar." The third man, stroking the elephant's trunk, thinks it is too thin and flexible to be a pillar. To him, it's a snake. And finally, the fourth man, pulling the elephant's tail, exclaims, "This isn't a snake, it's a rope. An elephant is like a rope." The truth for each one of these men is totally subjective. They are each limited to their own experiences and subjective realities as they name the truth. And they are all correct, and they are all incorrect. They only have parts of the story. Truth may not be universal. Truth may not be agreed upon. It may be near impossible to agree on the truth. Here is a truth of mine. Making the effort to find and express truth is a sacred act. When we obscure truth, we affect the balance of the world. If a person speaks about an experience that never actually happened, that person's words are completely empty, like a shell around nothingness. There is no experience at the core, no sliver of substance lying inside the tale they tell. Instead, like the author of Ecclesiastes wrote, "Havel, havalim, hakol havel." It's all vapor, a gauzy substance that when we try to capture it, there's nothing there. It simply evaporates. There is a Jewish teaching that the Hebrew word for truth, emet, is composed of the three letters that are the first, middle, and last of the Hebrew alphabet, aleph, mem, and tav. By outlining the beginning, middle, and end, these letters represent the entirety of the alphabet, the entirety of language. They represent all possibilities of communicating truth. However, the three letters, Hebrew letters shin, kuf, and resh, that spell the word for falsehood, when you order them differently, sheker, these letters stand next to each other. And this tells us that while truth creates a firm and broad foundation spanning all of the alphabet, falsehood stands on a single leg. It is unstable. Emet is a name for God. We know this as we say it every time we pray the Shema and the Ve'ahavta together, as we will just a little later tonight. We'll chant the words, Adonai Eloheichem, Emet. Adonai, your God, is truth. If Adonai is truth, then in order to turn towards our spiritual selves, we need to strive to make every effort to get in touch with our truth. Who are we at our core? How can we live our lives in ways that honor the truth of who we are? What are the very foundations of truth upon which we build our lives? Compassion for others, kindness, tolerance, justice, fair practices. In the Talmud we read, God is truth. So Judaism as a whole is the practice of truth. Judaism challenges us to live in truth, to live with the highest integrity. Many examples of how to do this are also given in the Talmud. Here are just a few. Always quote correctly. Engage in commerce honestly. Abstain from hypocrisy. Abstain from deceit. We can all agree that these are best practices, but do we actually practice them? We are always acting in the context of a social structure. And at times, these social structures themselves are based in a culture that deals in falsehoods, self-interest, and corruption. And when this happens at the very core of our government, when the structure of our society is placed upon shaky foundation, it's hard to get it right. Truth itself is corrupted. In a midrash, after all the animals are paired up and on board Noah's Ark, the lie tries to sneak on board, but Noah stops it. He tells the lie that it needs to have someone to come on board with. Only pairs are allowed. The lie is too ugly for beauty and incompatible with truth. Wickedness, however, is worshiping an idol when lie appears. Wickedness wants to know what the lie will give it to come on board as the lie's partner. And the lie answers, it will give it whatever it gets from lying. That satisfies wickedness, and they go to Noah, who now that they are two of a kind, has to let them both enter onto the ark. So the lie survived the flood. And whenever a lie is told, wickedness grows. When lies lay at the foundation of a society, lies like some people are more worthy than others of wealth or healthcare, security, homes, basic nourishment, and respect, lies like this are fully compatible with wickedness. What complicates things is that we can all agree in the abstract that to speak truth is best. In practice, we find this is actually not always the case. When morality is turned upside down, our inner truths, meaning our deepest guiding principles, can urge us rightly to speak untruths. Think about the righteous Gentiles of the Holocaust, who lied in order to save Jews and other persecuted peoples. Thank God for those untruths spoken to save innocent lives. Were there only more of them? Living one's truth is connected to living with deep integrity, allowing morals and ethics to guide our speech and acts. Our deepest truths are linked to faith. Emet is a name for God. It expresses the idea that truth and faith are linked together. To turn towards Emet in our relationship with others is to build honor and trust in one another. To turn towards Emet within ourselves is to not lose sight of our deepest beliefs and yearnings for connection with a spiritual core. It is a reach for holiness. In Zechariah, we read that truth is related to shalom, wholeness, perfection. May we seek truth in building a more whole world. Shabbat Shalom.